one is obedience motivated by love. And I began to meditate on this thought, and I think about when I was growing up, and one time my mother had a certain way she wanted us to dress. And I went to school, and the children were trying to get me to change the way I was, what I had, and fix it where I would look more like the other children. And then when I get ready to go home, I could fix it back, right? But I wouldn't do that. And when I think about it, why wouldn't I do it? One thing, I believe I feared God, because God would see me, right? But then also, I did love my mother too. And many times, that was the motivating factor when it comes to doing the things that she wanted us to do. I remember that one time that I disobeyed her, and it really hurt me to think that I hurt my mother. Anytime that I felt that it was what I was doing or the way I might handle a situation would hurt, she would be hurt by it, it hurt me. And so that's how, one way that I could obey her, because I felt that I loved her and I didn't want to displease her. When I think about God and how we live for him, we have the scriptures to tell us what he wants us to do. And we know, according to the scripture, we have light and understanding as to what is right and what's not right. But you know, we could just do it because the Bible says do it and we want to go to heaven, or we don't want to go to hell, right? But I believe God wanted our service to him and our what we did, our obedience to him, to go to a different level. More of our love for him, instead of just doing it because he is God and we know we should do it. It's right to do the right thing. But I believe God is more pleased if we do it because we love him. And so the scriptures tells us, and we're going to read it, to love the Lord our God with all our heart. Let's go to Matthew 22 and 37. Obedience motivated by love takes obedience to a better level, a higher level. It's good to obey. We must obey. We won't see God's face in peace if we don't obey. But yet, he wants us to obey him because of our love, not just because we are afraid of punishment. You know, sometimes that's the only way you can get some children to obey you, if they know they're going to be punished. But that's not the level we really want. We want to instill in our children a love for us, so much so that they don't want to do it. Matthew 22 and 37.
Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is this, unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
So you see, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart first, from the heart. And then with all thy, read the others.
This is the first and great commandment. And the second is this unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Everything that's in the law that tells us what to do and what not to do is hung on loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and our neighbor as ourselves. If we have that deep down in our heart, we will do all what the scriptures tell us to do. It'll come natural. Loving God like this will make it natural for us to obey him. And not only so, but it will give us a desire to do what's in the scripture, what the Lord tells us to do. Same scripture, the same thought is in Deuteronomy 6:5. But notice it includes a little more.
And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might.
So in the Matthew scripture, well, I said more, but it says with all your mind. And in this scripture, it says with all your might. Think about what that entails. If I love the Lord with all of my heart, which is the seat, they say the seat bed of our affections. So loving the Lord with all our heart brings that love in everything we do, right? And then it says with all thy soul.
With all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might.
So your heart, your soul, and your might. And see, when I think of might, I think of energy. I'm putting all of my energy into the things of God because I love him. There's hardly no room for anything else. He's going to be first. And doing his will is going to be first. And it's going to help us to please him. This is what the Lord requires of us, but it's what he wants of us. He wants us to, he sets these laws out. He wants us to do the laws, but he wants us to do it from a heart. A heart of love. Just think about how in the Old Testament time, a lot of what the people did was very ritualistic, you know. You can get in a pattern of, okay, I know I got to read my Bible, so I'm reading it. I know I got to pray, so I'm praying. I know I got to go to church, so I'm going to church. And all of that is right and good. But why do you do it? It needs to be done because I love the Lord. Let's take reading your Bible. When we read our Bible, it should not be drudgery. It should not be, oh Lord, I gotta stop and read my Bible. It shouldn't be like that. It should be, what does the Lord have for me today? We love God so much. We want to hear from him. He hears from us when we pray. We hear from him when we read the Word of God. So we want to have that kind of love for him so much. We want to eat of his word. It's food for us. You know, a person with a good appetite, and I'm not one, I'll be honest. I'm not one that has a good appetite, but I know people that do. And I'm telling you, when they sit down to a meal, you can see the smile on their face. you can see how much they enjoy what they're eating. And the same with us, with the Lord. When we read his word, it's like eating a good meal, our favorite meal. I could ask you maybe, what's your favorite thing to eat? If I asked Tamaya, she'd probably tell me oxtails. She loves oxtails. I watched her after Thanksgiving. I don't know how many days she didn't eat on those leftover oxtails. She loved them. Okay, the word of God should be just like that. It should be so good to us, just like those oxtails. Every day I want some more and more. And sometimes you can get to reading and it just seems like I can't get enough of it. It's just like, I can't put this down. It's so good. And that's how we love the Lord to that level. And then it says, with all your heart and with all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. I'm going to put some energy in this. You know, I may be tired, but like last night, I was tired. But I'm not going to just go to sleep. The Lord give me some scriptures or something. I'm too tired to read it. I'm not going to do it. No, I'm going to stay, press against that tiredness, and read his word and study. And so this is how we love the Lord. He wants this law and our service in our heart. Let's go to Hebrews 10, 1 through 16. If I could just whet your appetite for the things of God, so much so that you love him and you don't allow other things in this life to hinder you or to stop you from doing God's will. If God says it, then you want to do it. That's being so devoted to him. We have scriptures about different ones that were devout. Cornelius was one. And God blessed him. He said your prayers and your alms have come up as a memorial for you. We want to have that kind of energy in the things of God. Hebrews 10, 1 through 16.
For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of these things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offer year by year, continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. But it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away this. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldst not, but a body hath thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sins thou hast not, thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, come, in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God.
Okay, stop right there. See what this is saying. Back in Old Testament time, they were offering these sacrifices year by year. And it wasn't really making them perfect, because they'd go back and they'd sin and they'd offer a sacrifice and then they'd sin again. And it just did not do what God wanted, really, those people to be able to do. It wasn't in their heart. It was an outward effort for repentance for their sins. But then God gave Jesus a body. That's where he said, you've given me a body. The sacrifices wasn't enough. It wasn't satisfactory. He accepted it in that day, but he wanted something better than that. So when Jesus, the Lord gave him a body, he came into the world, then people were able to get salvation in their heart. That made a change. And they could no longer have to go year by year by every year, sin and then repent and then sin and then repent. They no longer have to do that because of Jesus. He made that sacrifice once and for all. And we can repent of our sins once and for all. And God will keep us. Now realize that he won't make you. You can sin again, but you don't have to because of Jesus. Okay, but God made it possible. He made a new law. He made things where we can have the law of God in our heart, not just doing it as a ritual. We got to burn these sacrifices, and then the next year we got to do it again. Let's go Romans 5, 1 through 5.
Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works for patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, the Holy Ghost which is given unto us.
So now we have the love of God in our hearts. And it makes a difference. It makes a change in us. And we're able to work, live, and move from the perspective of the love of God that's in our heart. Jesus taught us. He not only taught us, but he set the example for us. How that our service to God is connected to our love for God. And we want to look at some scriptures that will help us to see that this is connected. This is the way the Lord wants it. He doesn't want just a ritual, just a something that we do to get to heaven. We have to do it kind of on a ritual basis. But he wants us to do it from our heart. Mark 12 and 30. Jesus did it. Jesus was that way. Jesus loved the Father. And his love for the Father motivated his obedience to the Father. And when we have that kind of love, it's going to motivate our obedience to God. We must obey him. If we want to see his face and peace, we're going to have to obey him. But we don't want to do it from a perspective. We want to do it from a love perspective. Mark 12 and 30.
Mark 12 and 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment.
See how that is? The level of loving God. It's the same as the other scriptures. It just have a little more with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and thy strength. This is what Jesus told us. Now let's read John 15, 9 and 10. And we want to see how Jesus did it.
John 15 and 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you commit, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love.
See how the connection between his obedience to the Father and his love for the Father? This is the level we want to get it. Today, if we find ourselves doing the things of God is good, but not from the level of love that we ought to, we can ask the Lord to give us more of his love. That when we do what we do, we're doing it because of our love for him. Let's go now to John 16 and 27. Jesus was our perfect example. God sent him here to not only be the propitiation for our sin, but also to set an example for us that we can follow in his steps.
For the Father himself loved you because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God.
See, so if we love Jesus, God will love us and he will put his love in us. This thing works like this, from the Father to the Son to us, and then we reciprocate this love back to the Father and the Son. We're just, one scripture said, and we'll probably read it, that it's like a oneness and we'll be perfect in one. And it's a perfect love relationship. You know, to love, to do the work, things that God would have us to do, without it, it's not going to work. It's not going to last. But what helps us is because our love toward God. Just doing it because we're afraid we're going to go to hell, it's true, we will, but it's not good enough. We're going to have a love for God, so much so that it will help us in our walk with him. Galatians 5 and 6. You know, God doesn't want to make us do anything. The parents make
Galatians 5 and 6,
right? Mm-hmm. He doesn't make us do the things. He tells us what's right. But he doesn't make us. Even though our parents sometimes, they'll tell you, you wash the dishes. And if you don't wash the dishes, they make you wash the dishes. They'll give you a punishment or a, you know, fan belt, as some people call it. And that makes you do it. But God doesn't do that. He tells you what he wants you to do, but he wants you to do it because you love him. You have Galatians 5 and 6?
For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love.
See that? Our faith worketh by love. That's what counts. All this, what in the Old Testament time they were commanded to do circumcision and all that. But when Jesus came, all of that was fulfilled. It's no longer you have to be circumcised, whether you're circumcised or uncircumcised. That's not the important thing. But what is important is having faith that worketh by love. So we want to go to Galatians 5, and you did 5 and 6. Skip down now to 13 and 14.
For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for occasion to flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the love is revealed in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
You see? And then so, it goes from God to Jesus to us and back to God and Jesus, us reciprocating it back to him. But then it doesn't stop there. It goes on with our neighbor. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves. All of these things is wrapped up. Our whole salvation, faith, and confidence in God, and obedience to God, all of that's wrapped up in love. It's in a big package, and love surrounds it. John 14, now, read verse 15.
If you love me, keep my commandments.
Okay, now read 22 and 24 to 24. If you love me, keep my commandments. If you keep my commandments, you show that you love me. I told you all about this where my mother said to me, obedience is greater than sacrifice. I was so devoted to her. I was one of those children that if she walked, I wanted to walk in her steps. That's the way I felt to her. And the kind of child that would probably say, Mommy, I love you. You know what I'm saying? But then when I disobeyed her, she told me obedience is greater than sacrifice. And that stayed with me. All these years it stayed with me. But the thing is if you love someone, you're going to do what they tell you. Now, it's kind of hard when the child comes to you and say, Mommy, I love you. And then every time you tell them something to do, they don't want to do it. It's hard to see that as real love, right? Well, it's the same with the Lord. If we tell him we love him and we're not willing to do what he say, or we want to do it our way, then he's not going to see that as love. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Okay, did you go down to 22?
Judas said to him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Then Jesus asked and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him.
See how that works? It's united. Now tell me, if this is a marriage situation. Your husband just doesn't, or wife, they talk down to you, right? They get mad with the man. They say, you ain't nothing but an old boy. Something like that. Or the man gets with the woman and say, you can't never cook right. It's about time you learn to cook to suit me. These are the kind of things that sometimes happen in marriage situation. And then he comes home with some flowers. What do you think is those flowers are going to mean? Or he tell you he love you and he talking all harsh to you. That is hard to see that as love. But of course, sometimes they want to apologize. And that's acceptable. But you see, if you love the Lord, you're going to obey him. You're going to do what he say. You're going to please him. You want to please him. When we obey him, we please him. And so this is what it all is. It's a package deal. All right, let's move on now. Read John 14 and 31.
But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence.
You see, the Father, he depended on obeying the Father. Whatever the Father said, he did it. And so we need to work on obedience, obeying the Father. Because if we don't obey him, we can say, I love you all we want to, but it won't have any effect on him. He will not accept that as love. He accepts obedience as love. Jesus did it, and he was the Son of God. And what do you think about us? We need to do it as well. So now let's go to John 17. 1-9. So the love that Jesus had for his Father, the love to obey him, passed down to us. When we give our heart to the Lord, he puts that love in our heart. Back in Romans, it says the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. This is what motivates our love for God, because when we give our heart to him and when he gives us of his Spirit, the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. That's how we can forgive others when they do something to us, because we have the love of God shed abroad in our heart. So this love, Jesus, we see how Jesus loved the Father and he obeyed him and followed his commandments. Then he gives us that same love and we do the same. Did anyone get John, St. John 17?
17 and what?
1.
These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son also may glorify thee.
All the way to 9.
As thou hast given him power over flesh, over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things that whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are mine, for they are thine.
You see, the people that believe on Jesus, he passed that down. The same thing. They know the Father. They know, believe. We know the Father when we give our heart to the Lord. And our hearts are opened up to receive him. And he has then passed it on to us. The same love that he had for the Father, he's passed it on to us. And we have believed him. And we do those things that please him. Skip to verse 11.
And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thy own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are.
Okay, now skip down to 20 and read 20 to 26. So we see that we belong to him. God gave that we belong to God. God gave them to Jesus. And he was talking about his disciples here. But it also God passes down to us today.
17 and 20.
Yeah.
Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and have loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them.
See that, how that works? God had love for the Son, and now when we accept the Son, his love comes in us, and we have that love. And we reciprocated back to the Father, the Son, and that love is not only going to stay in our heart, but it spreads abroad to others. And so, this is a love relationship we have with the Father and with the Son. 2 John 1:5-6.
And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this love, that we walk after his commandments, this is the commandment, that as we have heard from the beginning, we should walk in it.
Amen. And now I was thinking about how that this love started with God. Jesus showed us who God was. He helped us to see that God is love. And now it starts with him. We're not going to go to that scripture, but it says we love him because he first loved us. So it started with God, and then it came down to us. And today we have that love, that we love him so much we want to live and please him and walk before him. If we do this, there are many blessings that we will receive from obeying God on this level. He will bless our lives. There are many scriptures. I'm not going to take time to read them all, but in Deuteronomy, it says, I said before you, blessing and cursing. Blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord. And it goes down and said, cursing if you don't. If we obey God, he's going to bless us. He wants us to obey him. But there is blessings to our lives. We could be blessed every day. We could have problems and still be blessed by God. We can walk in his presence in the sunlight of his glory if we will obey him. He wants to put that on us. Jesus said he wants us to observe the glory he had before the world began. But he also wants to put some of his glory in us while we're walking and moving and have our beings. We should be able to be a help to somebody else, some sunshine to somebody else. And we can do that. We can't do it on our own. We have to obey the Lord. We have to follow in his step. But if we do, he will bless us. he enumerated all kinds of blessings that are for us if we obey him. And so I want to encourage us to obey the Lord, but have our obedience on the level of our love for him, not just because I have to do. That isn't going to work very long. But what will work and what will stand is if I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all of my strength, with all my mind, then I will be able to follow him and do his will. And then in the end, of course, we'll have eternal life. Pray for me.